Good morning. Welcome. I trust that you have a copy of God's Word, either in printed form with you or in digital form on your phone or tablet. I invite you to open it and join me in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11 in this message that I've entitled, Jesus Wants Service from Us, in this series, Followers of Jesus, Being or Becoming and Being a Christian. Let's look at that passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5 and going to verse 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There are two levels on which to understand this particular passage. First, on its doctrinal truth. This passage speaks of Jesus' deity and his humanity, 100% God and 100% man. At the same time, it tells of his obedience to the Father in his death on the cross. It declares his ultimate exaltation, that every knee will bow and that every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Then there's also another level to understand this passage, and that is for its practical message. There's instruction on how to live as Christians by following the example of Jesus. A believer can successfully live the Christian life. Let's take a step back and look at the four verses that precede our passage, verses 1 through 4 of Philippians chapter 2. Let's just look at those for a moment. Therefore, Philippians 2:1, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out for not only his own interests, but also for the interests of others. If we are to fulfill this exhortation, we must have the same attitude as Jesus, the mindset of a servant. Only through servanthood can you be obedient to God's call on your life. And there are four things that are revealed in our text about servants. Things to understand and apply to our lives if we want to be servants like Jesus. First, being a servant means giving up rights. Verse 6, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Listen, Christ has always been and always will be God. This truth is the foundation of the church. When Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? Peter testified, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus lived as 100% human and 100% God. He fought the same temptations, the same struggles that we fight, and yet, because of his divine nature, he was able to overcome them and live out his divine nature in the flesh. Paul is saying that because we have Jesus living in us, we too, although living in the flesh, can demonstrate the divine nature. Paul's saying that because we have Jesus living in us, it enables us to overcome desires of the flesh, to overcome the temptations to live like the rest of the world. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus did not hold on to His rights as God. He was not looking out for Himself, but for others. He surrendered His rights for you and for me. He gave up His privileges to come as a man and suffer a death we deserved. All the authority and power available to Him became a channel of giving rather than a conduit for getting. His focus was not on being served, but on serving others. Not on exalting Himself, but emptying Himself in obedience. The contrast is clear between the value system of the world and the value system of Jesus. In our world, he who has the most prestige and is worth the most. In the economy of Jesus, it's the opposite. He who is the highest is he who does not live for himself, but for others. If you and I are going to be servants, if we're going to have the same attitude as Jesus, we must give up our rights, give up our privileges to serve others. So, being a servant means giving up rights. Second, being a servant means becoming less for ministry. Verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Literally, the first part of this verse means poured himself out. Made himself nothing. Gordon D. Fee wrote, "Jesus took on the very nature of a servant. He came as a servant, not as the Lord, even though He was and is God. He gave Himself for others, even though all of creation should give to Him. He was God living out a truly human life." Listen, Jesus became a servant. He willingly left the splendor of heaven for the smell of a stable. He left the company of angels for the company of men. He who is omnipresent took on the limitations of humanity. What a distance Jesus traveled from heaven to the cross, from robes to rags, from being served to serving, from the golden streets of heaven to the cobblestones of the Via Dolorosa, from the sounds of praise to the cries of an angry mob, from being exalted to being executed. Why did he do it? Because of love. Because of love for you and for me. If we're to be like Jesus, we must become servants, allowing others to be more at our personal expense. So being a servant means giving up rights. Being a servant means becoming less for ministry. And third, being a servant means obedience, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He who made all men, he who knew the hearts of all men, he who had all authority over men, humbled himself and allowed himself to be executed by men. And not just any execution, but the cross. The early church didn't view the cross the way we do. They didn't wear them around their necks or in their ears as earrings. Can you imagine someone today wearing a solid gold electric chair with diamonds in it? People would think they're nuts. No, they viewed the cross as we view the gallows. It was not simply a form of execution. It was the lowest form of execution. Reserved for the lowest class, those with no standing. God incarnate dying on a cross was a scandal. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11 tells us, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Crucifixion was the cruelest form of execution in the Roman Empire. And executioners themselves were cruel. The victim was first tortured several different ways and then attached to a cross with nails. Death often came slowly over a period of days as the victim experienced increased blood loss, thirst, hunger, and the attacks of wild animals, and then, if not dead already, suffocation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 23, Paul said that the message of the cross, preaching Christ crucified, was to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. There is nothing he will ask of us that will cost us as much as going to the cross cost him. We can never give up as much as he gave up. We can never humble ourselves as much as he did. And yet, we must be willing to do whatever he asks, whenever he asks, wherever he asks. The sad reality is that for many of us, we've already decided what God wants us to do. We have set the parameters of our service. We will only serve in such and such a place, in this or that way, on this or that day. We've convinced ourselves that God would never ask us to do anything that's outside of that box. We have selective obedience, and that is not real obedience. Servanthood means being obedient, whatever the cost, whenever the call, wherever and however. So being a servant means giving up rights. Being a servant means becoming less to, for ministry. Being a servant means obedience, whatever the cost. And fourth, being a servant means trusting God for rewards. Look at verses 9 down to verse 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus was obedient, because he humbled himself, because he was willing to pay the price, he will be exalted. The principle is that God will reward humble, obedient service. Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The bottom line, being a servant is more about being than it is about doing. There is no genuine life in Christ that is not at the same time by the power of the Holy Spirit being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Let me ask you, if Jesus Christ humbled himself to become a servant for others, then how can we exalt ourselves? If he died for others, how can we not live for others? Let me ask you, are you here to serve or be served? Are you going through the motions of service, or are you really becoming a servant? Will you choose to be like Jesus or not? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the testimony of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Thank you that we are called to have the same mind as Jesus Christ, who gave up all the glory of heaven, who made himself a man, who came in that form, became 100% human while continuing to be 100% God. And he was obedient to the Father in that incarnation, obedient in every way, all the way to the point of death, all the way to death on the cross. Father, may we have that heart. May we have that mindset, that same mindset as we are called to have, a mindset of servanthood, a mindset of being more concerned about others than of ourselves, to be willing to be poured out by you for your purposes, for the sake of others. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, I pray that you would do business with everyone watching or listening to this message. Do business, drawing each one of us into a close and intimate and obedient life of servanthood to our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ for his kingdom's sake. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.